This is part one of three. Individual completeness. God is defined by Mary Baker Eddy in Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures as incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. The terms for God are the seven terms at the end of that statement. And the first four terms, which are incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, represent the operators which are to be applied to the seven synonymous terms for God. Incorporeal represents the first of the four, which is the Word. Divine represents the second one, which is Christ. The third is supreme, and that represents Christianity. And the fourth, infinite, represents science. The seven digits are static unless they have an operator applied to them. Just like the digits in mathematics are static unless they have the operators applied to them. The operators in math, the basic ones, are add, subtract, multiply, and divide. The four operators in the system of divine metaphysics are briefly defined as the Word being the facts about God. In order to consider what the Word really represents, one must be in a position where they have exhausted their trust in matter. Mary Baker Eddy states in the Scientific Statement of Being that there is no life, truth, and intelligence in matter. But we have to individually obtain an appreciation for what that means, and very likely we will have to have gone through some very challenging circumstances whereby the belief in life, truth, and intelligence in matter failed in depending on it in some form. The application must also be utilized properly. The sequence must be proper in the science of divine metaphysics. For example, we cannot jump into the demonstration unless we first of all know the facts and that the translation is done properly. So the Word, which is the facts, comes previous to the translation, which is the Christ, and that comes prior to the demonstration, which is Christianity. Music is the same as math. In fact, everything that exists has a principle and a way in which it operates. Music, of course, has the notes. And it has the operations, such as the keys, to be able to produce the harmony. There's a great deal of math involved in music. Everything in the universe is connected in one grand network, sharing some of the same principles, the same type of operations, in order to bring about a balanced and complete result. If everything is complete in itself, then it has to blend in with everything in all existence. Because there is no isolation, only interconnection. The big picture is immense, beyond measurement, for it's all part of the infinite. For one to recognize and experience individual completion, none of the elements and none of the operations can be absent. Everything needs to be applied in the way that is dictated by the rules that govern the principle. And not a single part of it can be absent. A building would not stand unless it had a foundation. Looking at some of the individual components of the seven synonymous terms, in order to internalize them, one may want to consider some of the obvious ones that need to be cultivated. Creativeness could possibly be considered as one of the important ones to get started. Enlightenment. We must be unbiased and not try to determine how a problem can be solved unless we are in the mode of listening. Listening for the inspiration that will guide us. Mind is the creative force and provides the shining light. But there needs to be filters that are used throughout the use of the system of divine metaphysics. Omniscience is a part of mind. The four primary omni qualities of mind are omnipresence, omniscience, omniaction, and omnipotence. Omniscience includes qualities such as intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. And we must use these qualities in examining each of the other topics that we may desire to explore in order to experience individual completion. In considering intelligence, one must realize that every aspect of building our foundation must include intelligence. Knowing and wisdom are two other qualities of omniscience, and they also must be utilized in the construction of the foundation. One could consider a treatment as being similar to the construction of any structure at all. There is a principle involved in every aspect, and things must be done in the right sequence, and the principles involved must be employed. Monitoring of the success must be truthful. We must be knowing what we're doing, and every decision we make in this construction must be wise. Just as we would not want to use sand without the other elements in creating concrete, we cannot have any missing elements or procedures missing in building our foundation in divine metaphysics. Sand mixed with lime and water, I believe those are all the ingredients, although I'm not a concrete mixer, but I believe those are the basics of making concrete, maybe gravel. But whatever they are, all of the ingredients must be included. The basic ingredients of building a foundation about God are the seven synonymous terms that were mentioned previously, which are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We can't leave anything out if we want to experience individual completion. Genesis chapter 1 is considered the foundation of truth in the process of development. If one would properly analyze the verses in Genesis chapter 1, it actually extends through the first three verses of chapter 2, one would find that the first part is about mind, and the second part is about spirit, and the third part is about soul, and so forth. And then in the very end, love is the primary element in that development of the days of creation. Those same elements apply to anything that is a development process. Whether it is building a relationship or whether it's constructing a skyscraper building. Love, for example, represents the mothering qualities of nurturing. And love being the final step in the development, it is obvious that nurturing must be applied to all the individual steps. Just like when a mother is caring for a baby, they must nurture the baby to where it can take care of itself. A gardener is nurturing a plant or flowers, or whatever vegetation is in the garden, until it comes to its fullness of beauty. And then it must monitor it. One of the important things is to make sure that one covers the thought of stoppage or reversal. The affirmative statement that there can be no reversal of good, no reversal of progress, is an important one with any progress that is taking place, that has been called sealing the treatment. Going back to mind, if one realizes that all capacity, all functionality, all facility is in mind. It's not in personal intelligence. It is a part of God. Individual completion is only a manifestation of the completion of the concept of God. We individually are like a shadow of God. If we want to understand ourselves, we must understand God. God is the source, and we are the object of God, the shadow. God would not be a God unless it had a manifestation. the manifestation cannot exist without the source. The source cannot be limited. Otherwise, we would be really in trouble in the kind of God that we were shadowing. If we were shadowing a God in which we thought would not work all the time and would not be incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, then we're going to start out at the beginning with a failed foundation. If we thought God was intelligent at some times and ignorant at others, we would be in big trouble. If God was only active part of the time, we would be in big trouble. The concept of God has to be without any limitation, always operating, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniaction, always omniscient, meaning intelligent, wise, and knowing. Or there could not be a foundation of any substance. And by the way, spirit is the only substance. We certainly couldn't think that matter would be the substance of God. What kind of a foundation could be made out of matter? It certainly wouldn't be eternal. Certainly wouldn't be permanent. Certainly wouldn't have infinite everlasting qualities. Running water can wash away rock. If we don't have a foundation that cannot be penetrated, then it's not going to be lasting. Individual completeness would be impossible. If we have a foundation that is tentative. Thinking about spirit as the only substance, one would need to make sure that their concept of spirit is flawless. If there was any flaw in the substance, that wouldn't work. You might be able to build a small structure, and it may last a while if it has flaws in it. But we're looking for a complete individual concept. A concept that is not going to be failing. So since matter isn't going to do it, we have to look to the opposite, which is spirit. Anything material can be damaged, deteriorate, be deformed, be destroyed. So only its opposite, which is spirit, is impervious to everything that would possibly change or reduce its effectiveness. If spirit is flawless, which it must be and is, then it is transparent. Think of a diamond. They grade a diamond based on the absence or the presence of impurities. The fewer impurities, the more value it is. If we're going to build a permanent structure, we've got to have something that is without any impurities. therefore, it's going to be totally transparent. Opaqueness comes from a belief that there is matter involved. But we cannot mix matter and spirit. Mary Baker Eddy set aside time to pray for the world, and that had to be based on seeing the spiritual nature about all existence and everyone in it and every event that's taking place. We have to do the same thing when we're building our foundation on attempting to experience completion individually. We have to see the purity of the true nature of God, the transparency, and therefore it's going to automatically include reflection. Like the beautiful lake that the Indians commented about was the smile of the Great Spirit. The water was calm, beautiful landscape around it, which was being reflected so that you could see the image of the landscape in the water. We want to see the image of our source, which is God, in our viewpoint. So the viewpoint has to be through the lens of spirit. Without flaws, transparent, and therefore to truly reflect the wonderful, beautiful, flawless characteristics of the one and only God that exists, the God which is composed of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Soul is defined as spiritual sense. Spirit, being the only substance, has to be the substance of everything. It has to be the substance of mind, the substance of spirit itself, the substance of our senses. Now, by our senses, I'm talking about spiritual senses, which are what we are a shadow of. We don't own them. We don't own anything. All possession is in the source, which is soul itself. It's been said that some of the wisest people that have great assets, great in quantity, have recognized that they don't own anything. They only have the use of assets in the degree to which they use them properly. If they abuse them, they will no longer have them available. An example of abusing would be to make a bad decision, a selfish decision, a corrupt decision. Anything that is unlike God, that is applied to something that one has available, subjects it to disappearing. Think of a talent that someone has developed. A popular professional pianist has stated that if he didn't practice every single day, he would know it. If he didn't practice 2 days, the critics would know it. if he didn't practice 3 days, the audience would know it. He had to nurture the skill and the talent continuously. No vacations. That's what we have to do with our thinking. When we're thinking about building the foundation and we are working on experiencing it by practicing it, we can't take a day off and go and do something really material, get way out of the realm of spirit, and expect to be able to go forward without doing some major repairs. Think about a storm that could interrupt the construction of a building, and it did damage. You couldn't go forward unless you repaired the damage. Might have to replace part of it. Whatever needed to be done to make it whole, you had to have that whole building in perfect condition in order to continue the pursuit. One also has to guard against malpractice. Wentworth Winslow has written 3 articles on malpractice, and he points out that the word mal means bad. I believe that's the Latin translation. And the bad practice we have to be concerned about is our own thoughts about what we're doing. Are we utilizing thoughts of perfection? Or are we mixing good and evil, matter and spirit, spiritual sense and material sense, life and death? Are we doing any mixing? Are we diluting the flawless nature of spirit with anything whatsoever? It's going to be reflected in the building of our consciousness if we do, and therefore we're not going to be on a solid foundation. Each one of the senses has a spiritual connotation. Seeing, for example, is perception. Are we really perceiving the spiritual nature of what we're looking at? Hearing is understanding. Every single one of these senses have a spiritual connotation. And we've got to stick within that when we're thinking about seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. I believe it's the Blue Book by Richard Oakes. That's on our website. I think it's page 221 or 222, where there's a quotation about Mary Baker Eddy defining the spiritual nature of those senses in like 1 or 2 words each. Of course, throughout Science and Health, she discusses in detail what the senses of soul are all about. And those are the senses we must be focused on. The spiritual senses. What kind of principle is one going to be utilizing in their construction of their consciousness? This is the end of part one of three.